husband was picking up Griffin from the train station today, and he was talking about the area over by Pulaski and Lawrence. And he was talking. I didn't mean this in the way I intended, but I said, you know, that if there's an area that needs to be gentrified, it's that one. But I didn't mean gentrified.
Yeah.
But like sort of rethought. And I can't believe that I'm reading this bio on Carla, and she you work toward reimagining urban areas. We're talking to Carla Bruni from Community Glue, and I'm very excited to talk about this because I do. This is something I believe in. I think that we, you know, our city has is so expansive in so many areas surrounding this, the city of Chicago.
Right.
I think there needs to be some sort of reinvigoration as to how we plan things out. Does that make sense?
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, sort of some of the stuff I do. So I do historic preservation work. And so we like to keep the buildings as they are, but like, you know, fix them up, find like small businesses, local businesses, work on main streets to kind of like, you know, strengthen, you know, the economy around that and the folks that are already there and stuff. So yeah, it's kind of like, it's at that delicate balance of, you know, how do you make this a better for the people who are there?
Already there.
You know what
that's
I mean?
That's why I knew gentrification wasn't the right idea. I didn't mean that, but I meant like
But get some business get some, like a heartbeat in some places that have definitely kind of like lost their zhuzh.
I think everybody needs to follow you on Twitter, on Facebook, because you have some of the coolest pictures. I think you have the neatest job being, you know, in preservation and what you do with Evanston Rebuilding Warehouse, which we'll talk about there too. And of course, Community Glue, the workshops that you hold for the Northside community and anybody basically who wants to venture on up there. Mm-hmm. But talk a little bit about what you get to go, I know at one point you were kind of part of the Landmarks Commission too. You get to kind of go and not revitalize like we were discussing before, but you get to go out and see which buildings should be landmarked or give your opinion on that.
Yeah. There's, I don't want to get too into it because there's so many like crazy nuances. Like you'll be asleep in 5 seconds, but
it's really interesting.
But like once you start explaining it, it's not as interesting.
Your pictures are awesome though, where you're standing like on a ledge over, you know, on some old building at 71st and Jeffrey.
Yeah. I do a lot of different things. So I've been doing a lot of building inspections lately. We're trying to like kind of to the earlier point, like areas that have seen a lot of disinvestment. Working with like a lender right now, so we're doing, you know, these building inspections and getting the money to the right people so they can like fix the places up enough and get, you know, like low and moderate income homeowners in there too and get these neighborhoods going again. But yeah, you know, we've looked at like historic courthouses all over the state for studies and main streets and just all kinds of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but all kind of building related.
I have a dream of taking an older building and turn like old like churches that are abandoned or, you know, some of these great looking buildings that have great bones but maybe have been sort of, you know, let go. You know, there's a great building on Fullerton near that Burger King. I can't remember what street that is, but it looks like an old bank or something, and it's been just completely let go. It's starting to, you know, go into disrepair, and it's a shame. You know.
Well, if you know about the Stony Island Arts Bank, it's a project in Stony Island where they took an old bank like that that had seen a lot of wear and tear. You know, like it was old, it was empty for a long time. You know, what are you going to do with something like that? And fixed it up, and they did it in a really interesting way. So it wasn't like sometimes with preservation, people are like, everything has to be so precious and so high style, and it's expensive, and it's got a lot of, you know, kind of baggage with that. And so they kind of did a hybrid with it. Like, you know, they kept some of it looking really kind of older and, you know, just older and more weathered, and they wanted that to sort of show the layers of history, but then also, like, you know, cleaned it up, made it much more inhabitable, and you know, health and safety obviously is a huge issue and stuff. So, and it's like a library. Like, there's all kinds of things that happen now in this like space. So it's interesting. There's all these different models now for things like that.
It's so if there's a building, so like the church, like Fourth Presbyterian Church, or if there's in the South Loop. So if there's a building or something that is going to be restored, I guess how is that done? How do you preserve something that's so old? You know, because if you take say stained glass or something like that, or something that you want to preserve from the original building, but you're going to clean it up. How is that done? How does that happen?
Well, we have a real shortage, so you have to know like that one 85-year-old Lithuanian guy who's like
still an elder in the church.
It's tough. I'm not lying. Like it's tough. Like there's not a lot of contractors who can do like that kind of work anymore. So you have to know the right people, and hopefully, you know, they're available, and hopefully, you know, like, you know, we need more training programs like that to get people interested in this stuff. So we have it. It's more specialized. I think it's a heck of a lot more interesting. I've done work like that. I've done hands-on restoration work, and it's like awesome. You know, it's much more rewarding than just sort of assembling a kit, which is what,
right?
Frankly, like new construction is much more like
IKEA. It's all IKEA houses.
You know what I mean? It's like that's fine,
which is fine, right?
It's totally different animal. Like totally, like these old, you know, all of these old materials. They sort of hold history. They hold meaning. They hold, you know, they're just, I don't know. It's a completely different experience. So, you'd think we'd have more people interested in that, but I don't think people understand the value of that. So, or they're afraid of it. They're afraid of the kind of work that it entails, which is why I started Community Glue. Actually, it was kind of this like gateway. It occurred to me one day that it wasn't really fair to expect people to want to live in some old house that's going to take like an insane amount of work, because they do. They take a lot of work. I mean, I love them. I think they're far superior. They're the best, you know, but they take a lot of work.
And
And nowadays, like, people don't know how to use a drill, you know, like you have to, you know, meet people where they are and like demystify things and empower them to use tools and like, you know, just remind people like, hey, you can actually like work on this and revive it, you know? Yeah.
Well, when people find out what Latin plaster is, I mean, it's daunting. I have Latin plaster. It's they're concrete walls.
I do not even know what that is.
It's not drywall. You can't just hang up whatever you want. You gotta, it's a commitment.
Plaster is tough. Yeah. I mean, it's great. It's like mold resistant and it's, you know, much more durable than drywall. Like, I could go on forever about the virtues of plaster, but it's a different animal. You know, it's a thing. Yeah. You have to know what you're doing.
Yes, I know.
It's a thing, you know?
That's why Community Glue is so... Tell everyone about Community Glue and the workshops that you started.
Yeah, sure. So in 2012, we started. It was, you know, I read this article in the New York Times about a woman doing this in Amsterdam. She was doing these repair cafes. And so I was like, oh my God, this is what we need. We need this. We need this. We need this. So a friend and I got together. My friend owned a cafe at the time. And she's like, well, I have space. And I was like, let's do it. And basically, it's like anything you can fit through the door, just like that's broken or torn or whatever, we'll try and fix it. And I have this great group of volunteers. They're incredibly dedicated. They come every month. I mean, it's amazing. It's totally free for people to bring things in. We have a pretty good success rate of fixing stuff. And we've got people who are like,
cool?
Who can sew, people who can fix electronics, people who can do sort of basic woodworking stuff, you know. And we have, you know, a limited amount of time. People are like, can you, you know, refinish my armoire? We're like, no. But like, you know, like, we'll take it easy. You know what I mean? You got a broken watch.
I have a table that needs sanding.
Yeah, you know what I mean? Like you got to be a little realistic here. But it's really, really cool because it's like, what we've realized, and I think is why the volunteers come back, because I need the volunteers. Like, I can fix some stuff, but I can't fix a lot of it. Like, this is really a hive mind. This is really, like, a collaborative thing. Mm-hmm. Community is a really big part of Community Glue. That was kind of why, you know, I wanted to call it that.
Amazing collaborative effort.
Yeah.
What's the most outrageous thing that someone's ever brought?
One of my friends brought in, like, a bustier.
What
a fun one.
What do they want to do with the bustier?
Like, yeah. All right, we can fix that for you, honey.
the hooks or the...
Yeah, I don't know. I don't even remember. This is like early on, too. I was
the
like...
The bustier.
You're like, we're all really comfortable here in Edgewater, but...
wow.
I hope she's listening, actually, because she'll know. But... awesome. But yeah, I mean, just all kinds of, and it's like what people value is really interesting. Sometimes it'll be some, you know, some little dish or something. You're like, you know, maybe they just had it a long time and they're a sentimental person, or maybe that we have a lot of people too who tend to have a lot of things in their home. As we were talking earlier about tchotchke, like a lot. Sometimes same person will bring like 6 or 7 lamps in over time and you're like, oh I'm starting to get a sense of you.
Well, and I'm not saying I'm asking for anyone in particular, like myself, but I'm guessing a lot of people start projects that they don't know how to finish.
Sometimes.
I'm guessing because I have a door that I stripped one side of it. I thought, well, these are really great. We have really great doors in our house, and these folks who lived there before us painted over them. So I stripped one side and I couldn't finish the other side. So I have this like, I have to take a picture for you sometime.
No, but it's half stripped.
It's half stripped.
Well, I commend you for stripping the one half.
I did.
That's a big project.
I did a very good job on the one side. And then finally, my husband was like, we have to put the door back up.
Oh.
Because I took it off. I put it, it was down on blocks downstairs in the basement where I stripped it. And then I flipped it over and I couldn't finish it.
Right.
It's like, I can't remember. I got pregnant. I mean, it's from before my boys were born and they're 15 and 13. Right. So I've had this half.
Patty's going to bring her door to community glue. She'll be walking in like, all right, let's get the
sure.
All right, folks.
I think I still have the stripper. I don't know if it's gone bad yet.
We do. I mean, we do though. We do have like people bring back like repeat projects. I mean, you know, and we're either slammed or sometimes we've got slow periods. So sometimes like, especially the sewers, well, they're always working on something like, you know, some project of their own. So, so it is a space for that too. And we help people finish things. Like they'll start it and they'll be like, I really thought I could do this man.
But
like,
no. I mean, I would come and I just need help and I need somewhere.
But come for the wine.
Yeah, you know? Totally. Oh, it's BYOB. There you go. Whatever. People bring like baked goods. Yeah, it's really like, it's supposed to be like really comfortable and like casual. Like, and what's amazing too is like all of our volunteers, I didn't know any of them going into this. It's not like it's just like my friends. My friends wouldn't be interested in doing this really. You know what I mean? Like, they're just people who are like, this sounds really cool. And like, let's learn from each other. There's like little sort of mentorships that spring up between people who, you know, and people. Yeah. So everyone's skill level goes up. It's really like intergenerational. We've got like, you know, young people with like blue hair, with like much older people, which I guess you have a blue hair joke there if you wanted to, but just realizing that
the blue hairs and the blue hairs.
Yeah, but like different kinds of blue hairs together.
Yeah, it's cool that it spans the generations too. My mom had a garage sale last year and she said it was so cool because there were some younger, like probably teenagers, maybe 17, 18 years old, and they were coming and they were asking for VHS players and DVD players because they wanted, and she actually gave them one, but it was broken. He's like, oh, don't worry about it. We want to fix them up and use them to watch old VHS tapes.
Yeah.
I have a box of VHS. A box that can have a VHS
tape. I know. I tried to donate all my cassette tapes one time and they're like, yeah, you can just throw those out.
Well, you can recycle them.
Those.
You can,
we don't need those.
Let's find out. Cool. Where can people find out more? We're going to come back and talk some more, but I want to make sure people have some of the information.
For Community Glue, it's communityglueworkshop.org. We also have a Facebook page at facebook.com/communityglueworkshop. So,
communityglueworkshop.org.
Correct, yeah.
All right, we'll make sure people have that information and find out more about Carla and Community Glue when we come back on 720 WGF. You're listening to the Patty Vasquez Show with Andrea Darlis. We are chatting with Carla Bruni, and I'm wondering how many people ask you if you're the singer.
Yeah.
Was it Francis
Sarkozy's wife.
Yeah, Sarkozy's wife. The French first lady.
She's also a singer. Same Carla Bruni. Yeah.
Oh, really?
When I used to book you for the morning show, I'd say, Carla Bruni, not that Carla Bruni.
Oh,
or not that
one.
No,
that feels
good. Because you're special. No. Because you're, you know, because they'd be like,
no,
well, wait,
the better
she's
one.
Controversial, like the much cuter, younger.
See, but the other Carla Bruni, the other Carla Bruni is not the one.
That's what I mean.
She's the one.
That's what I meant, because not the other one, because she's like too political and too partisan and, you know.
She's got issues.
And you're not. And you're young and cute and fun.
Totally.
You're
she's
super
partisan.
Cool.
Yeah.
Where are you from, Carla?
I'm from the suburbs here. I've been in Chicago for over 20 years, Chicago proper, but yeah.
And what did you set out in life to do? What was what led you to Community Glue, I guess?
Oh, man, I don't know. I went back to school for historic preservation when I was in my late 20s. Mm-hmm. But before that, I mean, in my undergrad, I was like a poetry major. And I've always just kind of been interested in like a million different things. So I had a very nonlinear path that way. But sort of it got me to this like place where I just like, if I guess if I were to encapsulate all of my different sort of jobs and interests, it's just that I like to save things. Like, I want to save things, you know? So buildings is a pretty good start.
Yes.
Like 40% of our landfill waste is construction and demolition debris. So I'm like, well, that's a good spot to, you know, kind of dig into. But also like building components. I work with a deconstruction workforce training crew at the Evanston Rebuilding Warehouse also. So we take in, I mean, millions of pounds of materials on a fairly regular basis in the warehouse. So
the warehouse is fascinating. My God, it is. I mean, you have like, well, I mean, talk about you have mirrors. I mean, you have like standalone bathtubs with the cool pedestals that have been like taken from, you know, mansions and homes.
Right. Well, we have like the whole North Shore basically kind of brings stuff to us. So sometimes it's like people like to redo their kitchens every 2 years. And it's, and a lot of landfill waste actually is from gut rehabs and stuff too. It's not just taking whole buildings down. So we're like, okay, we're trying, you want to save. I mean, it's incredible. It's like incredible stuff, you know? So, I mean, we are filled to the gills with all kinds of appliances, you know, and old wood trim, old wood doors that are beautiful. You know, terracotta cornice hunks. I mean, you know, there's stuff for like artists, there's stuff for contractors. You have a lot of designers who come in. We've had like magazine shoot kind of, you know, things people will want to use. Theaters will rent stuff from us.
Oh, sure.
So it's it's important. And we have this workforce training program in deconstruction also, because you need to have a workforce that actually knows how to disassemble a building properly. There's a lot of like health and safety things on that too. And
really, I mean, with all the electrical wires,
yeah,
and pipes and everything,
or just having,
yeah,
like a roof so fall down on you. Like, you have to like do it very systematically. Mm-hmm. And you know, all we know how to do now is demo. I mean, it used to be, we used to deconstruct everything, even the World's Fairs. Like, we used to deconstruct those. A lot of our homes have materials from the World's Fair in them, you know.
Wow.
Cool, right? And now everything's just so standardized, and we just, you know, there's a lot of reasons why we don't do it as much, but we're trying to get back around to it now because we have such a problem with our resources. So, so yeah, it's kind of a neat, I mean, the stuff that comes in, it's just bizarre, you know.
The warehouse is so cool. It's so unique, and just, I mean, there's everything, like we said, from door frames to lamps to, you know, old fixtures and whatnot, corbels and cool stuff like that. If someone comes in, what's the process? If I see something I really want, can I buy it? Do
totally.
I rent it?
Okay. Totally open to the public. Okay. We're Tuesday through Saturday from 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. And yeah, open to the public. Everyone's welcome. We wish we had more space because we could fill three times the space, frankly. You know, so it's a shame to turn things away because, we have like really good stuff, you know, and we still have to turn things away that normally, you know, you'd be so grateful to have.
Yeah,
so.
Sure.
But we work with other warehouses, like, well, divert the, you know, like if we can't take it, we'll call other people and be like, hey, can people take things over here? Or we'll recommend that people take things other places at least. So yeah.
So if you're looking for materials, it sounds like an incredible place to go.
Absolutely.
And where do people find out more about the warehouse?
So that is evanstonrebuildingwarehouse.org.
All right. I want to know more. And you also have something coming up, you said, at Plant Chicago?
Yeah. So Community Glue, we were talking about before, the free repair clinic, we're actually going to be out. We usually are in Edgewater. We're really we like being very local and believe in that. But we got this really cool offer from the plant, which is this 93,000 square foot former meatpacking facility.
Ooh.
In the back of the Yards neighborhood. I wrote a story on it a long time ago, so I actually know way more about it than I. They're amazing, but they there's a lot of different things they do there, but it's like a zero waste facility. You know, so it's basically, I had to speak after somebody from the plant last night. Actually, I was giving a talk, and it was like, you know, I'm like, I hate having to go up and talk about things after them because it's basically like they have a building that kind of like eats itself and regenerates itself every day. I'm like, I can't top that. I feel so analog. Like, after, like, they have these like really crazy systems, like tilapia or like feeding into this. I mean, it's just, it's insane. But it's really fun. On November 3rd, they're going to have a big event, and that's open to the public because they're not always as open for tours and stuff. So I don't remember all of the different things, but if you look at the Community Glue at communityglue.org, communityglueworkshop.org. I have like a poster we made up on there too that like outlines the day's events, but we'll be there fixing.
Awesome. You can get events tickets by Eventbrite, of course, but the plant, it's 1400 West 46th Street. Yeah. Oh, it is free.
Yeah. They have tickets, but it's free.
Do you need a ticket to go, even though it's free?
I don't know. I don't know if they just want a head count or what it is.
They must. Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah. It says general admission free right under that.
That's spectacular.
1 p.m. to 4 p.m.
It's cool. I know. And so I asked about, and like, do you guys mind going so far out of our neck of the woods? And they were like, yeah. So I was like, awesome, let's do it.
That's really cool.
Yeah,
there's
fun.
Is there a neighborhood? I mean, there's so many wonderful neighborhoods in this city, but there are certain neighborhoods that are just untouched that you would love to just get into and start digging through.
I want to hold that thought. We're going to take a break here. We'll do the news. And I think that's a great conversation to have. And we're keeping you.
Yeah, you have no choice. Sorry, Carla.
More in a moment on the Patty Baskett Show with Andrew Darlis. I was just texting my husband and asking if he could send a picture of the door so I could show you how
I'm telling you, Carla, she's going to be a community glue.
How half-baked my plans were 15 or 16 years ago before I had kids.
But you know what, though? At least you tried a project, right? Yeah. You would encourage that.
16, absolutely.
16 years ago.
A home improvement project?
Yes.
It's got a story. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's seen a lot.
Do you love the stories that go with so many of your projects?
Oh, yeah. I mean, there's a lot of history, but just like the layers of time, it's like, what is this like house scene? It's seen like, you know, the riots. It's seen, I mean, like,
not,
you know,
your house.
My house,
riots.
We bought it from a woman. We bought our house from, in 2001, we purchased the house from a woman who was born in the house in 1926.
Mm.
It's this area of Jefferson Park where it's all these Dutch colonials. And one day we found a letter that there were eight kids that were raised on the second floor. It's a two flat now.
Wow. Yeah.
And she, this when she was a child, she wrote this letter hoping that someday someone would find it. I have it in my jewelry box.
It's amazing.
And Griffin wrote her a letter saying he found her note about there are hidden secrets in this house.
Ooh.
So there, I love stories like that.
Oh, yeah.
But I want to go back. I know Andrea asked you if there was a neighborhood that you felt was in need of you know, or like some, you know, an undiscovered area of Chicago. Right. That
yeah, like if it's open season and you and your team, you get to go in and you can either start deconstructing or learning the history of, or, you know, maybe an untapped area.
Yeah, there's
an area that maybe has been tapped that you want to go back to.
Yeah, well, there's I've always lived on the north side, and I've gotten to work on the south side a bit, but I really got to spend a lot of time recently, like going around doing inspections, and like there were neighborhoods out there I had no idea. I mean I've lived in Chicago most of my life, like I thought I had been all of these places. Some of these places, just like, it's like pastoral. I mean, wow. Either because buildings have been torn down over time, or for, you know, whatever reasons, you'll have like something that was originally a farmhouse. It probably had all of its development around the 1910s and 20s, and everything's been torn down around it. So it looks like it's a farmhouse again. You know, it's crazy. You know, and often the land out there is, you know, is toxic. There's a lot of, you know, reasons, industry and stuff like that sometimes. So it's not necessarily like, you know, like these green spaces that are totally idyllic, of course. I don't mean to, you know, imply that, but it's still like, what happened? Like, what is this? Like, what? It's just crazy. There is, I think I was around Calumet Heights, where they had these like streets of perfectly, like, pristine mid-century homes. Like, we see them all over the city, infused in with bungalows and stuff like that, sure, but like whole streets where you could, like, it's like a magazine picture of like the ideal of like the night, like Edward Scissorhands, the beginning of that movie. I don't know if you remember it. All the cars are like pulling out of the driveways at the same, like, looks like that, you know. I was like, where am I? Like, this is insane. Yeah, there's like baseball diamonds, like old school advertisements on that, like, just, I mean, I would just encourage everybody to explore the city. Like,
oh, totally.
There's, you know, I don't know. I feel like we never leave our general areas, except maybe to come downtown sometimes. And there's so much great stuff out there. It's insane.
And look up. I mean, we're so used to like looking down at our phones. And I'm guilty of this too. You cross the, not cross the street, but you're walking down the sidewalk, you're texting. And you and I had a conversation about this, Carla, one time. I said, what do you call it on the side of the building where there's an old brick building, say at like Roosevelt and Canal? Yeah. And you could see it used to say like magazines, you know, 10 cents, and what's they called?
Coca-Cola, whatever. Like ghost signs.
Ghost signs. Those are so cool.
Yeah,
on a
like
building.
They built, like they had it, and then another building went up, and it basically protected that wall for however many decades. And then you tear that building down, and you see these. I mean, they're incredible. Or there was like siding covering something for a long time.
Sure.
Yeah, they're amazing. People document them. There's like blogs dedicated to them.
Those can't be restored, right? Like, brought back?
Well,
is it too old?
I don't really, really want to, because then it'll just look new.
Yeah.
It's like the, you know, there's that balance. Like, where do you...
It's like colorizing something.
Yeah.
Black and white.
You can't put, like, plexiglass over it. That would be weird.
Yeah. Well, you know, well, there are, like, in some cases, they'll do this in, like, house museums or in some other places where, you know, they'll have, like, they'll find, like, the original wallpaper. Most of it's, like, deteriorated and totally jacked up. So they're like, you know, we can't, you know... But they want to save part of it. So they will. They'll put plexiglass over, like, a square of it. So, you know, they'll... You know, fix the rest of the room of kind of what they thought it would be at that period and whatever, and do the best they can. But you can see those layers. I think that's really important to see those layers, you know. So, sort of.
What does it take for, I mean, I'm trying to think of like how people can get more. I know that you have volunteers that come to Community Glue Workshop. And again, go to communityglueworkshop.org for more information. But I don't know how you encourage people in those neighborhoods, let's say Jefferson Park.
Sure.
You know, although we have a lot of different organizations, I'm guessing it's probably easier these days with social media to sort of like say, hey, let's get together. Let's get on a project.
Yeah, there's really great neighborhood groups too. Mm-hmm. You know, there's groups, I mean, all over the country doing incredible work. Like, it's not just like preservationists, like, oh, I have a master's in historic preservation.
Right.
Like, people are saving their homes and their neighborhoods, like coming together, whether it's because there's a lot of crime or there's a lot of deterioration or whatever it is. So there is that happening with neighborhood groups sometimes. Also, you know, in terms of getting hands-on skills, like at the Evanston Rebuilding Warehouse, we're going to start up hands-on classes to help people learn how to work with materials and get used to tools and stuff like that. And, you know, like Community Glue, we fix things, you know, we repair things, but, you know, but then there's the other side of it. It's, you know, just getting comfortable with like tools yourself and like really knowing how to use them safely and feeling like you have some control over your environment that way. So there's resources. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you got to look a little bit sometimes, but good neighborhood groups too.
I love that. I love the communities are getting involved with it. Are you seeing more? I mean, when you started this, I know you said it was just a couple of friends, and now it's really kind of grown. Are you seeing kind of a resurgence for people wanting to try and either restore or just kind of fix their own things instead of just chucking it and buying something brand new?
Yeah, I mean, I think so. I think younger folks are definitely, you know, more interested. Yeah, it's funny. Like, it's surprising. Like, I mean, we had somebody bring in, she was working on, like, the unfinished project we were talking about earlier. She was working on macrame. And we literally had a volunteer that week who knew how to do macrame also. And they were both, like, in their, like, mid-20s to mid-30s. I was like,
really?
I'm like, what? You know?
Yeah. You're like, wait a minute.
It's like a thing. Like, macrame is a thing again.
Yeah. Oh, wow.
It is. And I've seen it like 300 places since then. I'm like, oh my God, I'm now seeing it everywhere. You know? Wow. So all of these, like, these things are coming back. And I don't know if it's because we want this relationship again with a more tangible, you know, mm-hmm. something instead of looking at our phones and whatever. But I think it's great.
It's
fantastic.
Lovely.
Yeah.
Is there a way, like, so if someone buys a home and they wanna maybe restore it or preserve a portion of it, maybe a door frame or whatnot, yet still keep it kind of environmentally friendly or eco-friendly, you know, yeah. with mm-hmm. not maybe putting solar panels or whatnot. So is there a way to kind of incorporate both?
Totally. That was my thesis, actually. Oh, Andrea. That's funny. You should mention that.
I didn't know that.
Interesting.
That's yeah. Cool. There's a lot of things you can do. Well, I mean, to me, I'm like an older home, a home that's, they always say, like, the home that's already built is going to be the greenest home, right? Because you're not digging up all of these new materials and resources to build something new and throwing all of these things into the landfill, et cetera. So that alone is a pretty big deal. But you can, oh my gosh, with weather stripping and tightening up, you know, you can just straighten up old windows, you know, tune things up. And it's not just like being romantic about it. It's like there's like data. Like we're like, right. No, really, actually, this is tightening up your house. And, you know, and there's all kinds of things to strip, you know, doors and strip paint and stuff, like all of these more environmentally friendly options that have gotten better over the years, too. There's so much you can do. I mean, if you're going to start from scratch and build a new house, like, you're already way behind the curve in terms of having a more environmentally friendly option. So I'm like, yeah, let's educate people. Let's talk about how we can make you not cold in your, you know what I mean?
That's cool.
Because you want to be comfortable. Yeah, I mean, I get it. Yeah. I get it. It takes some work, but yeah. There are ways. Yeah.
Well, that's the thing. I remember when we first moved into our house, we knew we needed to get new windows, but I was standing there and they brought in these, and we had these beautiful oak frame windows. And I put them in our crawl space, which is another project, and we moved another place in 2001. But so that's 17 years now. But I just remember standing there going, ah, they're putting in these like vinyl framed, like these white vinyl frame windows into the oak frame. And I just thought, oh, it's just heartbreaking. But I didn't know what else to do at the time.
Well, and let me tell you, window salesmen are very persuasive. Oh. So, yeah. Oh my God, they're like the, you know, they're the best apparently, because they just, and all the contractors I know who like know a lot about materials, they look for the Feldco or whatever the sign will be in the front of the house, meaning they're ripping and they go around the back alley and because they know all the windows are going to be back there, and then the contractors stockpile them in their vans and they take them home.
Yeah. Oh, these are beautiful windows.
Amazing. Sure.
Yeah. They're beautiful. I just hope they haven't like gotten any mold in the crawl space. I have the original doors. I kept everything that the owners who sort of redid the front so that there would be two doors instead of one entrance. Mm-hmm. So I have the old, again, oak frame door with all the like glass panels in it, and that they put that in the crawl space, so I put the windows in there with it, so I'm hoping that they're all still okay.
I don't know. Well, that old growth wood, though, it's naturally mold resistant because grain is
true.
So tight in that stuff that
that's
it,
a good
it
point.
Really is. I mean, all the work, I did a lot of work down in New Orleans after Katrina, and even that wood was like holding up, so it's incredible. Yeah,
what was that like?
It was tough.
I mean, it's a lot of work,
but but I love. But then, you know, we would go out and have a really good time every night. So,
yeah,
so
you
New
love
Orleans.
New Orleans. Yeah, yeah.
I want to know more. I'm keeping you for one more segment. That's it. I'm deciding. I'm going to be greedy with your time.
Ever.
No, that's it. No, I promise. One more. More in a moment. We're talking to Carla Bruni. Go to communityglueworkshop.org for more information. Is there any other place you want them to go?
Like and EvanstonRebuildingWarehouse.org. Is where our warehouse is. Perfect. Yeah.
EvanstonRebuildingWarehouse.org. Excellent. I'm excited. I'm going to be out there. Well, I'll probably just give you my doors. More in a moment on 720 WGN. You're listening to The Patty Vasquez Show, and we're hanging. Oh, The Patty Vasquez Show with Andre Dar. Sorry. I was trying
That's
to get
okay.
to Carla. No,
I'm
no, 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 no. I've been pretty. I apologize.
Patty and I joined forces. This was, yes. This is Patty had her show overnight.
I only said pretty late once since we started. I know. Which is pretty
good. You've been good. Patty had her show, and then I left the morning show, and we kind of combined forces to create what you're listening
to now. The Patty Oscar show with $100. Yeah. And I was trying to figure out how to. I was trying to do the reintro and also talk about Carla Bruni and the work that she does. Trying to figure out how to best explain what you're trying to encourage people to reimagine in their communities. Yeah. Really.
Yeah, I think it's just a matter of maybe even beyond reimagining, just to see what's in your community, like, and appreciate it, and like really look at the details of everything, like really taking it in. We rush past everything. We just don't appreciate what's actually there. Like you'll have a whole line of, you know, Chicago style bungalows, which, you know, they're ubiquitous here. We've got like 80,000 of them in the city or something, but like. They have like alternating patterns on their brickwork. They have all these little one of the greatest things about going back to school for architecture, even though kind of random how I landed it, but was that anywhere I go now, like in the world, but in the country, I can be like, oh, looks like the Dutch settled here first. Oh, this, you know, city must have, you know, a lot more trees than clay content. Oh, this, like, there's so much information in our buildings, in our built environment. Mm-hmm. And this woman, Elise, who started the Rebuilding Exchange, who we work with sometimes. We're not affiliated with them, but, you know, they're great, too. I remember she had some comment, like, all of, like, if you want to see our old-growth forests, like, look at our homes.
Sure.
They're in there. Like, that is what we built them with, you know? And you can be sad about losing the trees, but it's more of a crime to, like, then throw all of that lumber out. So it's all for nothing, you know what I mean? So just thinking about things a little bit differently that way, and understanding how valuable these objects and spaces are, and how we live in them and interact with them, I think is, it's just really makes life more interesting, you know?
It does.
Probably learn to appreciate it, too. One of my first apartments in the city, it was a first floor walk-up, and it had a barn door. And it was in Lincoln Park, you know, Lakeview area. And I thought that was so cool. I had two roommates at the time, and we just thought that was the neatest thing. And I thought, I hope they continue to, you know, preserve it. And the people, you know, the owners who bought the building, we just rented. But just you know, things like that, appreciate it.
Yeah, totally. Was there a lot of jokes like, Andrea, your barn door's open?
No, probably behind my back there was.
I had no choice. I'm sorry.
It's okay. I left it wide open. Really no did. Pun intended.
Yeah, no.
Fair pun intended. Yeah.
That's fair territory. Yeah. I do like the idea of your home being sort of a time capsule. I mentioned this letter that we found, and Griffin wrote a letter back to the original writer. A listener from the 630 says, I have a Streamwood home that's 110 years old, approximately. Did a remodel job around 1950. The newspaper was left in the wall of the bathroom, and I found it in 2015.
A 1950 newspaper. That's cool.
Yeah, and people, like, through the years, too, in, like, wall cavities, if you go into, like, add insulation or something, people have, like, jammed, like, there's, like, baby garments and old papers and, like, doll heads. Like, you name it. Like, we have found, you know, over the, like, crazy stuff jammed into these places. But even, like, the craftsmen. Like, I worked on some log cabin structures also, and we were sort of taking some things apart, and they would, like, carve the year that they had worked on the building. Like, there'd be a little car. Or you stick a penny in there.
Really?
And so, that's cool. Yeah, like later on, if you go back to do some work, you know, you might find, like, what's this penny? And it'd be like 1932 or something.
Great.
That's neat. Yeah.
Do you save stuff like that? I mean, if you're on a job.
Well, I put it back, actually.
Oh, did you?
Yeah. I mean, it wasn't my log cabin.
That's really neat, though.
What?
But you have a cool collection. I mean, you have some really cool artifacts, and I joked about your sickle and, you know, just different different.
Yeah, like a week away learning how to restore axes like a year or two ago. And so I have, my friends are like, you really maybe want to take your, I want to take your axe collection down if you're, you know, like, come over and like, I forget about it.
Yeah.
I had friends stay with me over the summer. It was a friend and her mom stayed for a few days too when I was traveling for work. And her mom was like, this is such an interesting place. It's really lovely, but it is the least child-safe home I've ever seen in my life.
Axes, sickles.
I mean, you name it, I have an awl collection that, like, you wouldn't even believe. I mean, I love, like, sharp metal objects. I find them just really beautiful, like, old vintage, like, just beautiful and, like, whatever. But, yeah, you know. It's a thing.
Yeah. I'm trying to imagine how you hang. I'm going to need photos because I don't know how. I mean, how are you storing and hanging these axes and sickles? And
it's different. I have a giant scythe that I have to actually figure
out.
Sure.
Why would
you?
Got to follow her on Facebook. You have the best pictures.
Different methods. But I was struggling with actually how to display all of my awls. It's funny you should say
that. Sure. Yeah.
That was one of the pictures you put up the other day. These are all of my awls.
Yeah.
All of my awls.
Yeah. My Facebook. Yeah,
yes.
Yeah.
What's your Instagram account, Carla?
CT Bruni.
All right, I'm gonna find you right now.
Me too. I don't know if I'm following you on Instagram. I'm sure I am. You get great pictures.
Well, and that's the thing too. I think I've always, like, throughout different periods of my life, I've collected certain things and try to figure out ways to display them. And I think that's another, again, with the internet, you have this opportunity to see how other people, you know, work things into their world.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know? Yeah. And that's fun too, with like reuse and with different, like, I mean, you know, it's like, I do have a giant hunk of terracotta cornice, like, sitting in my living room. You know what I mean? And, like, I don't know, things like that are, they, you know, they do add character. I mean, I believe in reusing materials as they were originally intended when you can, but I also believe, like, stuff's just really cool and it's neat to have these. They're like artifacts, you know?
Yeah.
They're just delightful. So makes it a lot more interesting to be in a space, I think.
You're so much fun. I love hearing your stories. I love randomly, I'll be on the south side and send her a picture of, like, you know, some mosaic tile. Like, what's the story behind this? This is so cool.
I'm in love with your cat.
Ah, Mr. Nancy's the best. I never got to mention Mr. Nancy on the radio.
Your cat.
He's famous now. More famous, I should say.
How old's your kid? Your kid's beautiful.
He's like 6 or 7 now.
He's so good. Yeah, he's got like his own little personality.
Yeah, he really does. Yeah.
Oh, he's so loud. He's very aggressive. He's so happy right now to be. He feels famous.
Yeah, he's pretty smart. He called in.
Yeah, watch out. He might get like this in a minute.
Like, where are you?
I'm getting him out of wet food. Yeah.
I agree. You have to follow Carla Bruni on Instagram. Go to CT Bruni. There are several people that I know. Peter Kalinick follows you as well.
Oh, yeah. He's crazy.
He's from my neck of the woods.
Oh, yeah. He's a wonderful guy. Yeah.
He should be running for office.
He should.
Right?
Yeah. We had a fellowship together. That's how I knew him. And some people did from that. So I hope he does. Yeah. He's a great guy.
You need to be the landmarks commissioner.
Ooh.
Or something. No, seriously.
We've got plans for you.
Yeah, we got plans.
All right. Hook it up.
Check out Community Glue, though. It's super. It's so much fun.
Yeah,
it's very cool.
It's all are welcome. Even if you don't want, you just want to check it out, come by. It doesn't matter.
Right.
So.
Here's somebody from the 815 who wants to make a story for other people who renovate. Before you lay down new carpet, dip your hands in red paint and run a smear going to the floor vent with a scrawled with the word saying, "Help me."
Oh, that's good. Wait, you did that once. No.
Yeah.
Hold on.
Again, go to communityglueworkshop.org and also go to
EvanstonRebuildingWarehouse.org.
EvanstonRebuildingWarehouse.org. You're going to see me at my door pretty soon.
Yeah.
Carla, thank you so much.
Thanks, Carla.
I promised we would release you at this point. The doors are unlocked.
You guys are great. Thank you so much.
I'm going to stalk you on Instagram, so it's fine.
I can let
you go.
Thanks, Carla.
I'm going to go find Mr. Nancy and protect him from all the axes.
The cutest. He loves it.
More on the Patty Vasquez Show with Andrea Darlis when we come back on 720 WGN.